It looks like President Biden's pick to run the Office of Management and Budget is running into serious confirmation trouble. This morning, two Senate committees canceled meetings on the nomination of Neera Tanden. Tanden's future is in question because of past tweets denigrating people in both parties. This afternoon, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked if Tanden has withdrawn her nomination.
The stage we're in is working to continue to fight for her nomination. And as you know, it's a numbers game, right? It's a matter of getting one Republican to support her nomination. We're continuing to do that outreach, answer questions they have, and continue to reiterate her qualifications.
Our political strategists join us now. We've got Matt Mikowiak, our Republican. Matt, welcome.
Howdy.
And Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Jamal, welcome to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And you're welcome. And Jamal, let's start with you. The White House says there that it's still fighting, but was that Tanden nomination a misstep in the first place?
I wouldn't say it's a misstep. I think the president had a reasonable expectation that the rules applied to Republican nominees would be the same rules applied to Democratic nominees. But it turns out that Democrats are going to be held to a higher standard than Republicans were. And, you know, sometimes those are the breaks. The reality here is, though, that we've got to come up with some rules of the road going forward, and having Republican partners in the Senate who are willing to say, you know, what's out of bounds. What we can't have is hypocrisy ruling the day in the United States Senate.
I just want to make sure I understand exactly what you're talking about here. Are you referring to the fact that Neera Tanden's Twitter feed essentially is coming under question when Republicans never said anything about, you know, Donald Trump for the past 4 years, and then didn't seem to have much of a problem with his Twitter feed?
They didn't say anything about Trump. They didn't say anything about Rich Grenell, the ambassador to Germany, who attacked Michelle Obama, attacked Barack Obama's kids. You know, so the idea that one has to have a pristine Twitter feed in order to get a United States Senate confirmation was not held. We were not held to that standard during the Trump administration.
I see. Matt, what do you think about that? Is it fair?
Well, Rick Grenell was confirmed to be U.S. Ambassador to Germany, and then he was named acting Director of National Intelligence. So, you know, at the end of the day, as Jen Psaki said in the soundbite, it is a numbers game. I think the problem here is that the math only works for the Democrats if all the Democrats stick together. You have a 50-50 Senate. You have to have 51 votes to get confirmed. 50 Democrats plus the vice president gets you there. But when Joe Manchin decided to oppose her nomination, it now creates a situation where they need at least one Republican. And based on what we know, there's only one person left who is up for grabs, and that's Lisa Murkowski, the moderate Republican from Alaska. I imagine that they delayed the hearing today because she didn't have the votes, and that's probably a signal that the moderate Democratic senator from Arizona, Kristen Sinema, was not prepared to vote in favor of Tanden's nomination. Look, but White House Budget Director, Jamal knows this, is one of the five most powerful jobs in the federal government. This is not a reflection of Neera Tanden as a person or whether her Twitter feed is pristine or not. It's a question of whether her temperament is such that she should be put in such a position of immense federal responsibility. And I think at the end of the day, you're now going to have 51, maybe 52 senators who are going to conclude that she does not need to be confirmed by the Senate for this particular position.
We'll see, and perhaps soon. Jamal, and I just wonder if there's anything actually special about this case. Doesn't this happen all the time? A new administration comes in and the opposing party looks for, you know, maybe at least one nominee to try to flex its might and scuttle.
Sure they do, but these aren't normal times. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We have had a presidency that ended with an armed insurrection at the Capitol. You know, the last president was held to absolutely zero standards. Now, I think at least the Biden administration is putting forward people who have real qualifications, they have real background in what they're doing, they have real standing in the national policy community. So I think we should give the Biden presidency its due and allow him to get his nominees through. This is not the time to be playing politics, and Republicans really just don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to trying to hold people to some sort of moral standard.
All right. Well, another major story
one thing
that's
to
happening
that, if I,
on
can,
oh, sure, yeah, quickly, yeah. Matt, please.
I'm sorry, just one thing. I mean, Donald Trump was elected president. Neera Tanden hasn't been elected to anything, right? So, you know, she has to be confirmed by the United States Senate. They have advising consent responsibilities. Jamal needs to be mad at Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin's on board. She would get confirmed 51-50, and she'd be White House budget director in a week or so.
Okay, we could go back and forth on that quite a bit, but let's. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. You got that in.
I am mad at Joe Manchin.
Fair enough. Let's move to the other big news on the Hill, that Senate hearing yesterday, where we heard that on January 5th, the FBI sent a memo about extremists prepared to wage war in Washington the next day, January 6th, at the Capitol. Of course, we found out that was true, but according to the testimony from law enforcement yesterday, nobody saw it. Jamal, stick with you. What did you take away from yesterday's hearings?
Well, listen, the facts are what they what we know, what we saw with our own eyes, which is that there wasn't armed insurrection at the Capitol. We know that the President of the United States encouraged the people to come and encouraged them to go to the Capitol and ramped up the language for folks who were going there. We know that the military, National Guard, was not sent in for hours to come back and help rescue the Capitol. And we also know that there were Capitol Police who were heroes. Now, what's at question is, whose job was it to pass along the intelligence and get it to all the proper authorities to make sure they understood how big of a threat this was going to be? And I think that's what this investigation is about.
Matt, one thing I want to ask you about this was, and one thing I found to be very interesting about this is that it seemed, for the most part, and I do say for the most part, bipartisan. We did hear, though, from Republican Senator Ron Johnson describe the crowd as mostly jovial and friendly, and he then spread a false conspiracy theory about who caused the violence and trouble that day. Let's listen.
Plainclothes militants, agents provocateurs, fake Trump protesters, and then disciplined, uniformed column of attackers. I think these are the people that probably planned this.
Again, we know that's not true. It's false. But also yesterday, this is compelling too. Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney said that Republicans must make it clear that they are not the party of white supremacy.
What happened on that day must never happen again. And we must not look away or trivialize it.
So, Matt, the fight between these two factions of the Republican Party is still going strong. From your perspective, what did you hear from those two people, and which side has the advantage at this moment?
That's an interesting second question. I think among the Republican base, unfortunately, they're probably a little bit more aligned with what Ron Johnson had to say. But I think if we're going to get back to being a governing party again, we're going to have to move in the direction of what Liz Cheney had to say. We absolutely have to reject white supremacy. I mean, I don't want to know anybody that doesn't reject white supremacy. And I go even further than that. I reject white nationalism. I've said that on my Twitter feed, going after people in Texas who have, you know, said that they're in favor of that kind of stuff. But I associate exactly with what Jamal said. Look, we need a serious investigation around everything that happened January 6th. It's now clear there was a law enforcement and intelligence failure. That's shocking to me. You know, Jamal's worked in the White House. I've worked in the White House. The fact that you have the Vice President of the United States, you have constitutional officers in the line of succession all at one place at one time. You have the D.C. police, you have the Capitol police. The fact that they're not sharing intelligence from the FBI and treating that event as a national security event and giving it the priority it needed is shocking in a 20 years after 9/11. I thought we fixed that with the 9/11 commission. We clearly didn't. So there's a breakdown there that has to be addressed. It's totally unacceptable. And it's an absolute miracle. The vice president, the speaker of the House, other members of the House and Senate were not killed that day when more than 100 people breached the Capitol for the first time since the 1800s that had weapons on them, you know, mere seconds away from confronting the vice president of the United States. It's absolutely, totally unacceptable. And we have to get to the bottom of it.
I was going to ask you both to look ahead to the weekend when, of course, we know that the former president will be speaking, or is at least scheduled to be speaking, at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC. I was going to ask you to weigh in on that, but instead I'm going to, because we're going to all be watching that very, very closely when that comes. But instead, I want to ask you to do something else. Reflect, if you could, on the pace of your own life now that you're not responding to everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth or from his Twitter feed. Jamal.
Well, you know, it certainly just seems to be more sane. I was struck watching Joe Biden's town hall on CNN last week. At one point, I just sort of exhaled and thought, this is just so normal. you know, whether you agree with the policy or not, it's just a president who seemed informed. He seemed like he was, even if he was shading the facts to make himself look better, it was inside the bounds of reality and not something that was, you know, ad hominem attacks and going after people for, you know, for no reason at all.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, look, the chaos that surrounds Donald Trump, that is partially driven by him and partially a response to what he says and what he does, I think is fundamentally, a big problem to being efficient and being productive and being strategic. And I think the biggest mistake he made was making Steve Bannon his senior strategist in the White House on day one. That guaranteed that level of chaos going forward. So, you're right. It's more normal now. We can sleep through the night, not have to worry about a 5 a.m. tweet against North Korea setting something off. We're going to be in more normal times, but obviously the country's still divided and the parties are still fighting. And I haven't seen the unification that I think we all hoped that Joe Biden could engender. And I think it would be a good thing for the country if he could find a way to do it.
Matt Makowiak is our Republican strategist today. Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Thanks to you both very much.
Take care.
Thank you.